Jim, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jim.
I've been through this process with the help of a Big Book Step Study sponsor and the grace of God. I mean, most of my amends and practicing a lot of steps daily. And thanks for having me. It's nice to be here. Didn't make it with too many minutes to spare, but here we are. So, I got into Big Book Step Study about 18 years ago. And, you know, it was the result of, I was 17 years sober at that time. And I was as miserable as I was when I first walked in the door. So something had to change. You know, I was selfish. I was dishonest. I was, you know, self-seeking and I was ruled by fear at 18 years sober. So, you know, you say, I like to put it all off on booze, but not happen. You know, I mean, I didn't get married till after I was sober for the first time, and that was a case of boy meets girl in AA campus, and it was disastrous. You know, I was something of an approval-seeking missile. That's what I found out, you know, in the course of looking at my resentments. And approval seekers tend to accumulate a lot of resentments. And, you know, we tend to put ourselves last. And what happens, we get angry about it. And so that was kind of my MO. And I remember getting married. The reason I got married was because I didn't want my ex-wife to be mad at me if I didn't marry her. And that was kind of not a good reason to get married. I mean, we were in couples counseling like 2 years before we got married. So, there were red flags flying all around me, but geez, somehow it had to work, you know. Somehow it had to look good is what it had to do, you know. So, you know, that was sort of the culmination of many years of sex for the wrong motives, you know. And I mean, I go back to, I can go back to probably being a 10-year-old kid or something like that and having a crush on somebody. And I had six sisters, so I'm going to tell you, you better not tell one of your six sisters you got a crush on somebody, because they're like, Jimmy! It was brutal, you know. And so what do? You know, they say, oh, and then what first thing you do when I get Jimmy is I decry it. I'm like, no, I was, you know, I don't really, I don't, geez, you know. So that was a tough way to start, you know. It was somehow, you know, I had to get it right, and I had never been given the directions. And so it was a whole lot of trial and error. I thought, you know, for a long time that you know, the better looking someone I was with was, the better the relationship was going to be, and it was all about how it looked from the outside in, you know, because inside I was just terrified, you know, and didn't know what was supposed to happen, didn't know how I was supposed to act or. And I mean, I came from an alcoholic home. My mother was an alcoholic. I had six sisters. I had nine brothers and sisters total. And, you know, my mother was an alcoholic, and she used to go to bed with a bottle of VO for about a week, a month. And that was tricky, you know, as far as a bunch of us all trying to shift for ourselves and try to figure out what was normal around, you know, around love and you know, how that all played out. I mean, my father was a workaholic. He had 10 kids to support. And I'm so glad, if for nothing else, I'm so glad I did this work so I could come to realize what they had to do what they had to do, you know. Because, you know, till I did this work, I blamed everybody for everything, you know. It was, you know. And come to find out, they did the best they could with, you know, with the hands they were dealt. And because my mother had her demons. And But so there wasn't a whole lot of good modeling there. And I remember one time my mother was on a toot, and she had her own set of keys to her car, and my father didn't want her driving, so he went out with a shovel and smashed the windshield of the car and the side window in the car, and said, "Well, go take a ride now." And that was how it got. You know what? No one said anything about that. It never got, you know, the window got fixed and off we go, you know. So, I mean, that was my modeling, let's say. So that was, you know, so I had to feel my way along. But when I got to this part of it, thank God the sex part came after the first two parts, you know. I was able to kind of define my fears and see what my part in, you know, in everything was. Because, boy, I'll tell you, I mean, I ended up like 900 resentments around people, you know. I mean, that's not 900 people, but some people had got 20 resentments, you know. And institutions, oh God, I hit like 200 institutions. Say there can't be 200 institutions. Well, you know, to me, an institution, all an institution was a group of people, you know. And it could be an ethnic group, it could be a religious group, it could be, you know, it could be a civic group, it could be a political group, it could be a religious group. It didn't, you know. I mean, I was an equal opportunity hater. I had them all on the hook. You know. And principles, oh my God. You know, good principles, bad principles. I hated them all. You know. And but I was able to get the drift of all the common threads around all those things. You know, when I did my fifth step, it was like a litany. It just kept coming back to the same fears. You know. If there were probably four or five, you know, major fears, that most of those, I had a million other fears in there, but they were all subsets of those four or five fears, you know. And I'm sure fear of disapproval, top of the list, you know. Fear of one person's opinion of me affecting other people's opinion of me, you know, the big plot, you know. And so that was a lot of baggage to carry around, and particularly before I was able to write this stuff and define it and see what it was, you know. They talk about boogeymen, you know, and how foggy everything has to be. Things seem a lot bigger in the fog, you know. And so when I was able to see things a little more distinctly, it made it able for me to summon up the courage to do this, because, you know, I mean, four questions on my resentments is, you know, that's a lot, but nine questions, I mean, that's a lot of questions, you know, and every one of them pretty much needed to be asked around, you know, my selfishness. I mean, you know, in my sex relations, my selfishness was right on top, you know. And my dishonesty, I mean, how else could I justify my selfishness, you know? And the inconsideration was just, that just came with it, you know. I had no idea that I was affecting anybody but the other individual, you know. I totally discounted the fact that they had families and they had friends and people that were close to them. And how I affected them. I mean, it's amazing. It can be so blind to so much, you know. But like I say, you know, once the drum got beating on those earlier parts of this fourth step, I mean, you know, it was rolling. It was, it gave me the momentum I needed. You know. I remember a little epiphany I had about 6 months into my writing. Just it really hit me one day, like, son of a gun, I'm still doing this. I can't believe I'm still. I never did anything for 6 months that was good for me, you know, and stayed with it. you know, and that gave me the courage and the inspiration to stay with it and finish it. It took me about a year and a half to get through my writing, and it was a it was an amazing thing that that to me, like I say, that I actually stayed with it, because that was not my way of doing things, you know, because everything was all the heck with it. And but you know, having all that, don't ask me how I managed to stay sober for 18 years before I did this stuff. I mean, God must have wanted me to tell you my story or something, you know, because there was so much stuff that that really had no, seemed like it shouldn't have anything to do with someone who was sober, you know. And but in the end, I remember I was working on a job down in Newington, and I was going out to lunch with these guys, TGI Fridays, watching them drink, you know. And that was a little bit of a signpost, you know. So why, you know, why didn't I drink? Not because of me, you know. So, and you know, I look at a lot of areas of my life where things that happened to me seemed so senseless at the time that they happened to me. But I mean, in the course of working with other people, it makes perfect sense that all those things happened to me. You know, that I had they turned out to be useful. They turned out to be assets. You know. I think of all those times the blue light went on behind me, and I said, "How could any good come of this?" You know? And I mean, God's way in my life has been, you know, I don't have to know. I just have to know, not yet, you know, and believe that some, you know, believe that things happen for a reason. So anyway, like I say. I got married, and at about, what was I, 19, I was 6 years sober. I stayed married for about 6 years, adopted a couple of kids, and you know, and then we split up. And you know, why did we split up? I split up because I took up with somebody else I worked with. And that was a disaster. And there's nothing like a couple of adopted kids, you know, being left behind again, you know. And that's so that's been hard, you know. And you know, I do what I can, but they're not much interested, you know, even now, in having much to do with me. So I gotta believe that's gonna be in God's time too, you know. The good thing I see come of that is I go up to the jails and I put on commitments up in, you know, up in Berlin and over in Carroll County. I'm from New Hampshire, and boy, you know, I'm able to tell those guys. I can connect with them because they see I'm not Mr. Perfect. You know, I mean, I may be sober a long time, but, you know, I'm not, you know, they say there's a lot of them guys that aren't seeing their kids. I'll tell you that. And that really, you know, that helps me connect with them. So I got to think for now, that's what it's about. And anyway, so I wrote an ideal going forward. Was I selfish, dishonest? Was I inconsiderate? Whom had I hurt? All very important things to write about. You know, and jealousy, suspicion, and bitterness. Oh, you bet. You know, could I see that at the time? Of course not. You know. You know, where was I at fault, and most importantly, what should I have done instead? Because that, what should I have done instead? That that's pretty much what my ideals pointed towards, you know. Because, I mean, what's the point of looking back if I, you know, if you can't look forward? And so I could maybe, I brought my writing with me. I could maybe hit a couple of the points on my ideals, at least. When I first started writing my ideals, I did my work up in Saco, and I started writing about my ideals, and my sponsor was like, what I did was, I took the 9 questions, and I says, well, I guess my ideals should be the opposite of what the questions were, so I should aspire to unselfishness, I should aspire to honesty, I should aspire to consideration, you know. And I brought that to him, and he's like, "What's this?" He says, "This is a bunch of don'ts," you know. He says, "That's not what an ideal isn't about, don'ts." He says, "An ideal is about what we're going to do going forward. How is it going to be better?" And so he says, "You know," he says, "I see what you wrote there, and I see." He says, like you wrote that to cover the base of something. He says, why don't you think about, you know, what your higher power, what God is to you, and know that with God the sky is the limit. He said, you know, I was selling myself short and just putting in a bunch of don'ts for an ideal. You know, that's not an ideal. That's an I don't. You know, so." Anyway, and actually some of the ones when I had to do it all over, and when I came back, some of the ones I came back with, the, you know, there was still a few don'ts in there, but it wasn't about you know, a simple reversal of the 9 questions that I you know, that we had to write about. Anyway, see if I can. All right, let's see. I hope and pray to have what I appear to be to someone actually be me. Let's see. I hope to find a situation in which I don't feel sexually measured, compared, or judged. And pray. I hope to not feel the need to compare or judge others. I hope to not feel the need to lead someone on for ego gratification. I hope to not misrepresent my feelings and intentions towards anyone. I hope to be cognizant of ill-fitting relationships and to be given the strength and clarity to deal with them kindly and promptly. I hope to never underestimate or minimize my potential to hurt another through my selfishness or dishonesty. I hope and pray to always be aware of my family's history's power to influence my feelings, actions, and decisions in future intimate relations. I hope and pray to have the strength, willingness, and ability to express my sexual concerns, fears, inadequacies, and doubts constructively with my partner and encourage the same from her. I hope I'll be given the strength and clarity to recognize when my mate is asking me for something I don't have to give. I hope and pray to receive guidance when making promises and commitments that they be realistic and attainable. I hope to be given the strength and wisdom to let my mate be accountable for her own mistakes and me for mine. So that's... I'll strive for faithfulness as a source of freedom from guilt and remorse, as well as a conduit to joy and closeness. I'll strive to be grateful for my ability to be genuinely selfless in my future relations, amongst others. So, there's a few don'ts in there, you know. But what it ended up being is it's a lot of places where I gained insight in doing that work, you know. And thank God. I mean, and you know, it talks about it at the end of the at the end of this chapter about you know, if our selfishness continues to hurt others, we are quite sure to drink. I believe that. I've seen that. And I, you know, I don't want to be there. So that's pretty much my experience. And I'm grateful for the, you know, to be given the willingness and the stick-to-itiveness, you know, to get through it. And hopefully going forward I can get a little more stick-to-itiveness. There's a lot to be said for that, you know. There's a lot to be said in relationships, just don't give up, you know. And this too shall pass, you know. And when you're in the middle of something, at least sometimes when I'm in the middle of something, I can't see anything beyond that moment, you know. And God, you know, that's when I have to call upon God for trust. You know, He didn't take me this far to drop me on my head. Thanks, that's my experience.
Thank you.
That was Jim on Step 3, Sex.